Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to another short time.
A very special hello to Graham Hancock.
Hello, Graham, if you're listening. So for a very long time, human history was thought to follow a very specific pattern. We started off as hunter-gatherers, foraging for plants and killing wild animals to survive. Then, slowly but surely, our ancestors started to cultivate crops, farm the land, domesticate animals, and build settlements. And this move from hunter-gatherer to farmer was logical, not only because our ancestors needed to evolve and also develop the ability to work with tools, organize themselves into social groups, produce a surplus of food, etc., but also due to the Earth's climate. After all, the Stone Age could only come after the end of the Ice Age, when the Earth's temperature rose, the ice subsided, and fertile soil was revealed.
This transition from hunter-gatherer to farmer was always thought to have happened about 10,000 years ago. And it was believed that it then took thousands more years for us humans to begin building large-scale megalithic structures. For example, Stonehenge and the pyramids were both built around the same time, about 5,000 years ago. Gigantea in modern-day Malta was built, we think, about 6,000 years ago. The walls of Jericho in the Jordan Valley, which was believed to be the world's most ancient monumental structure, was built roughly 9,000 years ago. And all of this makes sense. You don't start building giant structures until you've nailed farming and social organisation. So basically, until you have a large enough population, a surefire, endless supply of food, and the necessary specialisation of skills to build things.
So, when Göbekli Tepe was discovered, a colossal, sprawling, highly complex megalithic site built at least 11,600 years ago, and we don't know exactly how old it truly is because so much of it still remains unexcavated, this discovery changed everything we thought we knew about human history.
It's so fucking cool, man. I love it so much.
So what the hell was going on? Who built this structure? How? And crucially, why? This is the shorthand.
So, let's start with the basics. Göbekli Tepe translates to potbelly hill in Turkish because it looked like a fat man lying on his back with his belly in the air. And for thousands of years, it wasn't thought of as much more than that, Fat Man Hill. It was a moderate-sized hill in the southeastern Anatolia region of Turkey on which local farmers used to graze their sheep. The truth of what lay beneath people's feet had been lost for generations. But there was something drawing Kurdish people to this potbelly hill. The story goes that there was a single tree which stood on top of the hill, and Kurdish people would go up there at the spring equinox and perform ceremonies. But it wouldn't be until 1994 that the reality of the secrets under that belly were finally revealed to the world.
The first survey of Göbekli Tepe was in 1963 by archaeologists from the University of Chicago. And it was concluded by them that it was probably a series of small cemeteries dating from the Byzantine Empire, with fragments of carved limestone that they spotted being thought to be medieval tombstones. So yeah, historical, old, but ultimately it was deemed to be of little interest. It would be three decades before an intrepid German archaeologist called Klaus Schmidt would visit the site. This happened in 1994. And he immediately understood that the flint shards that he felt crunching under his feet had been shaped not by medieval peoples, but by Neolithic hands. And look, I feel like we're throwing a lot of numbers around, right, in this episode. We're going to continue to do so. I just want to explain. The Romans were like 2,000 years ago, right? And we think of that as old. We think of that as ancient. This is 12,000 years ago we are talking about. Like, that is six times further back in history from us than the Romans were. I don't know what the word for this is. It's beyond ancient. So that's just, I just want to, you know, contextualize it a little bit. So Schmidt had spent much of the previous decade working at a site called Navali Kori, a nearby settlement from 9000 BC. There he had seen these T-shaped pillars. And here they were again under Potbelly Hill. And just to be clear, it wasn't excavated, but he can like see the tops of them emerging through the hill. And he can tell, because he's seen them before, If we excavated down, the same pillars would be here. And Schmidt said, quote, within a minute of first seeing it, meaning the T-shaped pillars, I knew I had two choices. Go away and tell nobody, or spend the rest of my life working here. He went with the latter.
Pretty soon, Schmidt had started excavating, and carbon testing confirmed everything he had hoped for. The time period in which the construction of this structure had started was, as Saru said, beyond ancient. It's known as the Neolithic pre-pottery era, 12,000 BC.
So yes, they find Göbekli Tepe. It is at least 11,600 years old. That places it a millennia and a half before it was believed that our ancestors were engaging in agriculture, and this kind of thing wasn't thought to have been possible. This structure, Göbekli Tepe, was built by people who didn't have a written language, hadn't yet, like I said, started farming or domesticating animals, and who didn't yet have metal or pottery. And they built it at a time when woolly mammoths and saber-toothed tigers still roamed the earth.
I am becoming more and more convinced that I'm actually a reincarnated whale. But I saw a really great meme of a shark, which you will enjoy. And you know the RSPCA have that, like, a dogs for life, not just for Christmas campaign.
Yeah.
And it's this shark, and he's like, I'm not a birthday present. I'm not a Christmas present. I'm a 400-year commitment. The discovery of Göbekli Tepe pushed back the timings of which we believed our ancestors were capable of building such structures by nearly six millennia.
This is what I mean. It's such a hard field to be in archaeology, where you're like, let's build an entire theory about human history based on what we have yet discovered. There is so much that is yet to be discovered. Like, I get it, science is the same, but it does blow my mind that you could have been in the pursuit of this theory of what hunter-gatherers were capable of, the way in which human history evolved. Göbekli Tepe comes along, pushes it by six millennia, and you're like, all right, okay, well, I guess hunter-gatherers were capable of much more than we knew. But is that it? Is that enough of a change of discourse?
And I do genuinely think, and I probably am being unfair, but it's dark and I'm sad. I suppose that element of it is that, you know, if they accept this rhetoric, their entire careers have been wrong.
And again, it's like, is that detrimental to your career, or have you just based it upon something that was shaped around previously existing knowledge? You know, I just feel like if it's science, then yeah, you made these theories based on what you knew. Now you've discovered something else. Let's change it up. And I think maybe we all just need to be a bit more open-minded.
This drives me up the wall, even just in day-to-day interactions with people. It's okay to change your mind. That's fine. That's better, actually, because it means that you're constantly analysing. Anyway, because there's such a big gap between the previously discovered ancient megalithic sites on the same scale and Göbekli Tepe, and also because there's a lack of evidence at the moment, it might come of the evolution of hunter-gatherers to point that they could build something like Göbekli Tepe, it makes some people, like Big G Hancock, question where this knowledge came from. How did a bunch of hunter-gatherers seemingly out of nowhere build something as big as Göbekli Tepe?
This is one of the key things. It's like when you're looking at the evolution of animals, you're looking for the fossils that denote that evolution. And then when people, you can always keep pulling it out and they'll be like, where's the missing link? Where's that link between apes and us? You know, where is that? That's missing. Here, it kind of feels the same way. And this is where I do, you know, not take issue with Graham Hancock, but question what he's saying. Is like, he's saying because there's such a big gap between things like Gigantia and Göbekli Tepe and no evolution of that kind of set of skills needed to build something like Göbekli Tepe during those millennia, how could these people just one day wake up out of nowhere and learn how to do agriculture, which, you know, people like Graham Hancock do think that there was agriculture happening around Göbekli Tepe. It may or may not be true. And the ability to build that. That knowledge must have come from somewhere else. Some other group of people must have come into that area. He's not saying aliens, just to be clear. Some other group of people must have come into that area and shared that information with this group, because they couldn't have just spontaneously realized how to do it.
I know Graham isn't saying this, but I'm absolutely saying aliens.
Now, obviously, like I said, we have not discovered everything there is yet to be discovered out there, archaeologically speaking. In recent years, a site even older than Göbekli Tepe has already been found just a few miles away from it, Karahan Tepe, which is already 300 years older. But it's not nearly as complex as Göbekli Tepe, making Göbekli Tepe still hands down one of the most important archaeological discoveries of all time. For many archaeologists and ancient historians, the site represents the beginning of human culture itself. And, as far as we know, right now anyway, the first ever great construction project in human history.
Construction on Göbekli Tepe and the surrounding sites ended around 8,000 BC. So, not only was this structure nearly 12,000 years old, it was also a multi-generational project. So given that the average life expectancy back then was about 35 years, I'm dead next year, and this would have been a highly labour-intensive build, it's safe to say that these people were seriously committed to Göbekli Tepe's construction and passed significant knowledge and information down to their children and their children's children, all without any form of writing. So it must have been really important. But why? Especially since early evidence seemed to suggest that the people who built it hadn't actually lived at Göbekli Tepe. Most people think that it wasn't really a settlement, but rather a seasonal meeting point. But again, why is it so important?
And again, just to cover our asses, there are people who believed that people did live at Göbekli Tepe. It's so hard to know because so much of it remains unexcavated, like we said.
I mean, it looks like a temple.
Yeah. I'm like, danger, 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 using these words, like people are going to come for us. Like, I get it. It's so hard for us to know what the right word is to use for this, which is why we're going to use the word site, ceremonial site, maybe even. Yeah, it's really tricky to know what it is because people say, obviously nobody lived here. It wasn't a settlement because there's no rubbish. There's no, you know, this, that and the other that would indicate a long habitation of this space. But people have also said when they've started excavating further down, though the Turkish government has stopped that, and that's a big like conspiracy theory in itself, which we can't get into today. People are saying that there is evidence people lived there. I'm also like, this would have taken so long to build. Some people must have been living there. But anyway, before we get into the why was this so important? Why did they build it? Let's first talk about the what. What does Göbekli Tepe as a structure look like? Now, I'm going to be honest, we are slightly hampered here by being an audio-only format. And we don't often say this, but I am going to suggest that if you are able to, right now, please give Göbekli Tepe a quick Google image search.
I'll spell it for you, G-O-B-L-E-K-I space T-E-P-E.
Thank you.
I was trying to spell Gwyneth Paltrow the other day
oh my God.
And I couldn't do it.
I hate it.
And I just asked producer Alex, I was like, can you just spell it for me? And he spelled it wrong multiple times. And I just turned to him and I was like, Alex, I love you with my whole heart, but I am so dyslexic and you are firing letters at me and I'm going to have a stroke.
No, Google copy and paste is the only way. So yes, hopefully you have an image of Göbekli Tepe in front of you. And if you don't worry, I will explain it the best I can. The site is made up of these circular enclosures of various sizes layered on top of each other. The bottom layer, obviously, being the oldest. And that's why we don't know how old it is, because I think it's like of what has been excavated, almost 50 times that is still under the earth. So if you haven't got to that bottom layer of this big lasagna of pre-ancient whatever, how could we possibly know how old it is? But these enclosures that you see are made up of these standing stones. And these stones are all in the shape of T's and so are called the T-stones or T-pillars. And if you look at them, they're very wide across, but also very, very thin to the side. And there are hundreds of them. Over 200 make up Göbekli Tepe. And these T-stones are made from local limestone, which would have been mined maybe just like 100 meters or so away from the site and then dragged into place.
The T-stones around the edge of the enclosure are about a meter or so tall, which would have been difficult to move into the circles that you see in Göbekli Tepe, especially given the level of technology that people would have had at the time. They didn't even have metal yet. But each enclosure also has two very large tea stones at the centre. They're 5 metres tall. That's huge. And the stones are incredibly heavy. So yes, it would have been hard to move these stones, but not impossible. And yet again, the much more interesting question is why?
The site screams of ceremony. I think it's very hard to get away from that fact, or that idea, I should say. And so this immediately set those archaeological and historical bells ringing. The very idea that this could be some sort of religious monument built by hunter-gatherers completely goes against everything we thought we knew about religious monuments and about hunter-gatherers. Until the discovery of Göbekli Tepe, hunter-gatherers were thought to have lacked the sort of complex symbolic systems, social hierarchies, and the division of labour needed to build something like this. Three very important things you need before you can build a giant megalithic ceremonial site like this. And as for formal religion, it had been previously theorised that this had only developed after agriculture, when hierarchical social structures required an otherworldly story in order to keep order and keep people bonded together in a community. But excitingly, what archaeologists found at Göbekli Tepe suggests that we may have got this entirely the wrong way round, and that perhaps our ancestors' need to build sacred sites was what first compelled hunter-gatherers to organise themselves, specialise in skills, and also secure a stable food supply, to be able to spend long periods of time in one place building structures to their gods. So yeah, which came first, the chicken or the egg? We can never say for sure. But the discovery of Göbekli Tepe and this kind of ceremonial site that wasn't purely a settlement, whether people lived there or not, is not really the point. It's the fact that it wasn't built as a town or a city, flipped our understanding.
We're going to give your brains a bit of a rest and slow down a bit, because this is mind-blowing stuff. Calling Göbekli Tepe a religious site is quite bold, because nobody knows why it's there or what it was. Some people do say, like me, that it's a temple, the oldest one we've ever discovered. Some people say it's a memorial, and others say it's a place that provides a prophetic warning. But we're going to talk about the pillars a bit more before we go into that. The 5 metre pillars at the heart of each enclosure. They seem, and this is so exciting, to depict people, specifically men. If you look at them closely, you can see that the pillars have belts around their midsection and the outline of loincloths and, crucially, hands. But if all of these tea stones represent men, if we're running with that, there's one thing that's missing. They haven't got any heads.
If you haven't got the picture in front of you, the tea stone looks like a broad male shoulder, like a set of shoulders tapering down into a waist. And yeah, they have these carvings that really look like hands around the middle. It's crazy. But yes, no heads. And this has led some people to believe that perhaps this was the ceremonial site of a skull cult. A skull cult is basically a cultural tradition that involves the veneration of human skulls, often those of ancestors. So those who practiced this skull cult would remove the heads or skulls of a member of their group after death and modify it in some way with carvings, holes, and dyes. The skull would then be displayed and honoured. And a few skulls that had been modified like this were indeed discovered at Göbekli Tepe. And we also know that skull cults were operating in and around that area at that time. So maybe at one point, all the tea stones had skulls on top of them. Or maybe you're a historian and archaeologist and think I'm stupid. Just a theory.
We are stupid, but also there's lots of things that nobody knows. Only a tiny fraction of Göbekli Tepe has so far been excavated. And even that small bit has already changed so much of our understanding of how we got here. Mainly because Göbekli Tepe is a hugely sophisticated structure. It has carvings, reliefs, and etchings on the surface of the stone pillars, depicting all sorts of things: leopards, lizards, snakes, vultures, and jaguars. And interestingly, all of the carvings are animals that really exist, not mythical creatures. And also, the animals are male, suggesting that this site was special to men in particular, and possibly in a somewhat spiritual way. And that means potentially we've misjudged the timeline of the emergence of religion. We had also totally misunderstood the skills that people who lived back then possessed. Their carvings are of an incredibly high quality, and they're clearly not just random people having a go. They're done by artists. Which means there were people within the group that built Göbekli Tepe who were specialised. And that's fucking mad.
The idea that 12,000 years ago, we're thinking of these people as just being hunter-gatherers. They're just foraging and killing in order to survive, and that's all they're doing, scrabbling about in the dirt. That is clearly not true when you look at a site like Göbekli Tepe. The idea that there were artisans, there were artists within the group, and they had that level of division of labour and specialisation is crazy. On top of this, archaeologists have also found signs that there was maybe some crop cultivation going on around Göbekli Tepe. This is debated. Some say that there was no farming of crops or animals, as all of the remains found within the site were of wild plants and animals, while others say there were indeed clear signs. I honestly don't know. But I think it's not a stretch to say that the people at Göbekli Tepe, given that they're building this enormous, multi-generational, enormous megalithic structure, were experimenting at least with crop cultivation and domesticated animals. I don't think that's a stretch because, yes, the remains of those plants and animals found at the site may still look wild, but it takes a long time before plants and animals move away from their wild ancestors into like a farmed situation. It doesn't mean they weren't doing it, if you see what I mean. But whichever it is, it's mind-blowing because either our ancestors started farming way earlier than we thought, like 2 millennia earlier than we thought, in which case the people who built Göbekli Tepe weren't hunter-gatherers at all, or they weren't farming, in which case these people were building megalithic structures as pre-farming communities. Whichever of those is true is crazy.
Not if you're an archaeologist, you can just ignore it. Let's get into the weird bit. Göbekli Tepe was buried, and it was buried intentionally.
This blows my mind. You spend all that time, all that effort, all that labour, years building it, and then they buried it themselves. And what's also interesting is, if you look at the different enclosures as they go up, the different layers, they get worse. They get poorer in quality as they go up, which is really interesting. It's like the older the enclosure, the older the carvings, the older the workmanship, the better it is. As it gets later and later, the workmanship gets worse, and then eventually they backfill it themselves. What?
There are theories, and they vary. From they buried it just because they wanted to start again, to they were covering it up so it would act as a time capsule to warn us in the future of an impending catastrophe. I've gone down a real great flood rabbit fucking hole, and it's plaguing me. Some historians have also pondered that the infamous vulture stone found at the site shows an ancient cataclysm. And they suggest that Göbekli Tepe is a memorial to the younger Dryas comet strike. But that strike itself is just a theory.
Yeah. The vulture stone, as you know, the name suggests, is basically just one of the stones that is there that has a depiction of a vulture. And for some reason, some people have connected that with this younger Dryas comet strike, but it is literally a theory. We don't even know that there was a comet strike. I think it's called the younger Dryas impact theory. There's not even proof that that happened. And also, how does a vulture on a stone indicate that? I think it's because there's like a circle that looks like it's falling out of the sky, but it seems like a bit of a stretch.
There's so much in this like pre-ancient discovery that appears to be depicting some sort of comet strike.
Yes.
And I want to believe.
I'm open to hearing all about it. I'm open to all the theories.
I love the comet theory, but we'll leave it to one side for a second. Maybe it wasn't a comet, but the people of the era would certainly have been subject to a rapidly changing climate. So maybe they built Göbekli Tepe and then they buried it to plead with their gods to stop fluctuating the world that they lived in.
Quite possibly. Like, if you go back and look at that part of the earth 11,600 years ago and the time that passed until they stopped building in that area, the earth's climate was going mental. absolutely mental. And perhaps it was that when they started building it, it was a bit more temperate. They were building it to their gods. Again, I say that very scaredly, in some sort of cosmic, spiritual, whatever. And then the climate gets worse and worse and worse. And maybe that explains why the workmanship gets worse and worse and worse. Maybe they're under too much stress to continue building like their forefathers had done. And then maybe they backfill it as a sacrifice of something to be like, stop fucking ruining our area. Maybe they leave. Maybe they bury it to safeguard it because they think they can leave and come back to it one day. We don't know. It's all just theories.
But it is interesting that this site and all memory of it vanished from people's minds. It was truly lost to history, to the ages, until Klaus Schmidt began his excavation.
The other crazy interesting thing about Göbekli Tepe is that it is, so far, the world's first perfectly north-south aligned building ever discovered.
Yeah. Boner.
And this, look, whatever you think of like what these people are up to, what it actually means, the fact that it is perfectly north-south aligned, it has to be more than just a coincidence. It strongly suggests that the people who built it had some understanding of astronomy 12,000 years ago. Now, the pillars are supposedly aligned in a way that they would have framed the rising of the constellation Sirius at various points over the year. So some have suggested that the different animals shown in the carvings represent different constellations visible at the time. I find this one hard to buy because I'm like, look, you're like, oh, there's a scorpion. It must be Scorpio. We're assuming that 12,000 years ago, they were looking at this same jumble of stars. And look, you have to admit, constellations, they're very open to interpretation. It doesn't actually look like a scorpion. What are the chances that 12,000 years ago, they looked into, that's a scorpion, and we thought the same? Like, that seems a bit of a stretch to me. I have heard a theory which I like much, much more. I like the theory that the images of the animals found around the site at Göbekli Tepe make the site itself represent a calendar of sorts, because seasons, much more than like a vague interpretations of the stars matching onto ours, seasons could have been mapped out by animals and birds that these people would have encountered. Because animals and birds follow very specific patterns of migration, hibernation, reproduction. Those happen at specific times of year. Because there was one female animal added later, it looks pregnant. Like, those things happen at specific times of year. So maybe it was much more a calendar of that sort.
While we don't know that much about the people who built Göbekli Tepe or why they did it, you have to admit, it has to change how we view human history. And only 4 enclosures have been excavated so far. 18 are still underneath Potbelly Hill. And while Göbekli Tepe remains a mystery in so many ways, it opens up the tantalizing question, what else is out there? I fucking love this. I love this stuff so much that I've grown a dick and it's got a boner. I love it.
It's super, super interesting. Love it. Here for it. Fascinating stuff. I think it's just, you know, it's fascinating purely because there's so much we don't know. And the thought that 12,000 years ago, our ancestors were capable of doing something like that is really a very humbling thought and puts you once again at that feeling of like, I'm not the center of the universe. Look at all the things that have been going on for millennia. It's fascinating.
Absolutely. Like, those people who built it 12,000 years ago had hopes and dreams and fears and
died at 35.
Yeah, I love it. I love it so much. And like, I know people have got problems with Graham Hancock, but like, come at me, whatever. He's not well received by the archaeological community because he's essentially saying, you know, we've got it wrong. And I think the archaeologists are like, do you know how much work it is going to take for us to rewrite history, Graham?
Yeah, I've watched a lot of interviews, debates, etc., featuring Graham Hancock and with more mainstream archaeologists. And look, I'm not an archaeologist. Shocker.
Neither is Graham Hancock, and he never claims to be one.
No, he's an author. He says, I'm an author.
Yeah,
and that's
I am
what
a
I am.
Journalist, and I yes. look at this. I am investigating. Yes.
And I'm also not a historian, and I know lots of people listening will be like, I know history, and like, you're wrong about this, that, and the other. Look, my point is, when I watched those debates, I was like, archaeology, much like other fields similar, constantly does have to rethink assumptions or theories that are made, because as they discover more things, they have to shift timelines, etc. But I do wonder why they're so resistant to Graham Hancock or people like him just theorizing about other things. They say, you haven't got the evidence to back that up. But I'm like, you are making claims about hunter-gatherers that you didn't have the evidence to back up. Or I guess you had the evidence to back it up, but you didn't know what else you didn't know, right? Because even Gigantea, take it, they were like, this is the world's oldest monument that we know about. Then you find one that's like 2,500 years older. And we don't know. Göbekli Tepe right now isn't even the oldest, because since that was discovered, we've discovered even older sites. We only ever know what has been discovered up until that point. So I don't personally have an issue with Graham Hancock or people like him theorizing. What is the harm?
I agree. If we are dedicated to the pursuit of the truth and knowledge, which is what academics claim they are, that's what we should be doing. And you can't just throw a strop when someone is like, but have you looked at this? Because it doesn't really line up with what you've been saying.
Yeah. And all you have to say is, look, the evidence doesn't back that up right now, but, you know, we're open to spitballing. Also, do want to say before we move on, what we're talking about here specifically is megalithic structures, because people will be like, there were definitely settlements while people were still hunter-gatherers and pre-farming. I get that. There were pre-farming settlements. That is true. People would get together so that they could forage more easily, hunt more easily, etc. What we are talking about here is pre-agriculture megalithic structures being built.
Yeah, the big shit.
Absolutely. So that's it, guys. That is our shorthand on Göbekli Tepe. And yeah, we'll definitely do more of these. I think, you know, Gigantea is fascinating. Jericho is fascinating.
I want to do the Great Flood.
There's so much we can do on these kind of ancient groups. And I feel bad because all the way through this, we've just been like, the people that built Göbekli Tepe is because they don't have a name. They haven't been given a name within archaeology or history or whoever's responsible for giving them a name. They don't have a name. So it's just the peoples of them.
The olden days.
Fucking incredible pastos. So yeah, we will see you next time for another shorthand. Goodbye.
Goodbye in the language that they spoke.